Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. This is Dr. Deb, your sister, your auntie, your mother. I am a part of the American family, and I am inviting the family to the kitchen table to talk about racism. Yes, I've made this very clear in the last few episodes that I've done here that it's a conversation that everyone keeps saying we need to have, but I don't hear anybody trying to start it. I also share with you that when I was growing up, when something was needed to be talked about, my mom, my dad called us to the table. We didn't always want to go, but we had to go because the conversation was just that important and everybody needed to be a part of what was about to happen. So that's the only way I know how a family comes together. That's the only way, is that somebody, the elders in the family, bring everyone to the table and they say, family, we need to talk. So I'm saying, family, we need to talk. Now, what makes us a family? We breathe the same air. The same blood runs through our veins, sometimes closer than what we are willing to admit in terms of bloodlines. So because we're family, we need to talk. So today, I want to revisit the topic of shame. Today I want to talk about white shame and black shame. And I believe last time I talked about this, I came to understand what white shame was when I was teaching my diversity course at a university in South Florida. And I saw how the white students struggled with talking about racism. And what I finally realized is that they were not feeling guilty. They were feeling shame. And I also shared with you that I understood that feeling when I showed a video about how Jews were treated by Christians. And so with that understanding, I say, damn, you know, who wants to be a part of a group that would do that to someone? So I get it. So I totally get it. And then the other thing I learned about my white students is that they could not believe people that were their ancestors would do that to someone, would treat other human beings that way. That's the one thing. But on the other hand, they had come to realize that the privileges that they have as white people were all tied up into the superiority that they had been trained to think, and that their people had used research, and I put that in quote, to prove that they were more everything, superior in every way. So there's a certain amount of disbelief. There's a certain amount of denial because, again, who wants to believe that? And then, of course, all of this is tied up in ignorance. I'm calling it the legacy of lies. So the legacy of lies is that all things white are right and all things black are not. And, of course, that's the black person's story in America. And let me say again to those of you who are not black or not white and you are something in between, some hue, some tone in between, please know that you have come to a country, you have inherited these things, and so you are invited to the table as well. Now, let me just say this to you. When you come to the table, you have to talk about what's on the table, okay? And what's on the table right now is racism, and the racism that is rooted in the transatlantic slave trade. One thing I struggle with more than anything is having a conversation with someone and they throw something else in the conversation that is really irrelevant to that discussion. So that is another conversation for another time. Let us tackle this one, because let us handle this one, because we all know it is way overdue. So let me just say that to those of you who want to say, what about us? What about us? Because this, like I said, the family has been ignoring this, has been silent about this discussion, and because I'm kind of tired of hearing people say that, and I'm kind of tired of saying it myself, then I decided that I would make this platform an avenue for me to just put it out there. And while my listenership is pretty low right now, and I'm not ashamed to admit that, I'm going to keep at this until the rest of you guys come to the table for the conversation. Now, let me talk a minute about the legacy of lies. I was looking at a PBS special once, and it was talking about the white people that were abolitionists. And then it was also talking about the, you know, the worst kinds of slavers and the things that they did, and then they interviewed these slavers, their ancestors, the families that came after them. I lose my words. So and the women, these white women were taught that their great grandfathers and great great grandfathers were these great men and great businessmen, and they never knew that their ancestors owned slaves or were the kinds of slavers that they were. They had heard the only thing they had heard about them was just great stuff, how great they are. Well, that's metaphorically the entire country where white people are concerned. There are families that are aware of it, more aware than others, and then they try to do things sometimes to give back or make up for that. But for the most part, there's an ignorance in white America, and willful, I would call it, willful ignorance, because with all the things that are happening with black people are always protesting about something, always marching about something, always complaining, if you will, about something, and there's no, it appears that nobody's really investigating on a large scale where all this protest is coming from. And so what it seems like you're settling with is, these people just complain and they just ought to go to work and make things happen like I did, like we did, like everybody else in this country does. And so, and there's some truth to that, so I'm not going to even deny that. But I am also going to make it very clear that row, that, as they call it, row to hoe, that the journey, from A to Z, is just a little bit more strenuous for the black American. And we want to call that journey a racist journey. So we cannot be in denial about that. And I think as long as we continue to be in denial about that, then it is not going to go away. And people like me are going to continue to say, okay, let's talk about this. And until somebody or everybody shows up for the table. Now, let's talk just a little bit about black shame. Can you imagine you're a little child, you're a little kid, and I don't know, you take a cookie when you shouldn't have. I think everybody, you know, take a lollipop. You do something, and you're always doing something that gets you in trouble. And finally, maybe a teacher or a grandparent or a cousin, someone calls you bad. So you get the reputation for being bad. And no matter how you try to beat it, fight it, rise above it, you have been labeled bad. You have been pathologized. That would be my language in my field. I'm a family therapist, you know. All right. So you're bad. So then you start to identify as bad. You stop even trying to do what's right and what's good or impress somebody or prove them wrong. You just fall into it and say, okay, this is who I am. Now, you may not, and many black people do not go out and steal and kill and break the law and pillage. We don't do that. But there is this understanding underneath everything we do that everybody else thinks that we are bad. That's our shame. Our shame, and I mentioned this last time, is in the texture of our hair or in the span or the size of our noses or in the even skinny legs is a problem for black people. Let's see, what else? Hair, the skin tone, you know, you have this colorism. Who's light, who's damn near white, who's black, they're so black, they're blue. All of this, all of that has to do with personal shame. If you have not looked at any of the Hidden Color video series, then you need to check them out. Because the horrific lies that black people have embraced about themselves are all tied up in their psyche about who they are. So they are in there, even though the very smart one, the most smart one, the lightest one, the most intelligent ones, all the ones that are placed on these pedestals in front of us in the news and as newscasters and sometimes actors and actresses, even those people, if you have a long enough conversation with them, some kind of shame will show up around being black and the struggle it has. As a matter of fact, one time I had a friend who was a black woman, had some white people in her lineage, and she knew it. I think her grandfather, something like that, said to me, "You know, I want to be white." And she did not, you know, and her reason was because of the hassles that black people have to endure. And I could, you know, speculate about what other reasons that she may have. Well, she's about the darkest one in her family. And so that was a source of shame for her mom. And her mom heaped those ideas up on her. And while she thinks she has overcome them and she has fought them, still struggles with her color, her skin color. And she still thinks white hair is right hair. So as much and as conscious as she thinks she is, these ideas are in her mind, in her psyche. Therefore, there is shame associated with that. So hear that. Oh, just now. Oh, I just did it. I corrected my grammar. The way we talk is another source of shame. Now, let me just say this. If you go to a country and you cannot speak the language, and the persons that teach you the language does not speak the language very well either in terms of grammar, and then you add or pronunciation, and then you add to that laws that forbid you from learning how to read, that makes it against the law for you to get an education. So all you have in front of you are people who are less than educated, teaching you the lay of the land, the language. So there's lots of shame with us around that. I can't tell you the people I know who you know, let me take that back, not the people I know, how difficult it is for me when I'm listening to black people on the radio, on television, and their grammar is less than to be desired, okay? I'm struggling, and of course I'm knowing they are just talking the way their grandparents talk, whoever raised them, the way their parents taught them to talk, what they heard. Even when you know what is correct, children say what they hear. And since I'm on this rant, let me just say, all of us, our grammar is not on point because we usually talk very informally. And when you talk that way, you just resort, you just relax and talk what comes natural for you. So I just wanted to bring that up because that is another source of shame for black Americans, how we talk. And let me just contextually say again, you talk the way your family talked. And we're just getting to the point where there are second and third generation of college-educated black people. Let me just say that. But even when you have that, you still have this legacy of uneducation, miseducation. Let's see, I made up uneducation, but if you can say uneducated, you can say uneducation. Yes. So you have all of this. I'm proving it, am I not? You have all of this in your legacy. And with that comes a certain amount of angst when you show up and you are not at home and you're out in public. Solutions. We have a system of lies that we need to overcome. So confront your elders and ask them to tell you the truth. Go on Google, but then go deeper than Google, because even if you look at these movies, you know, especially, you look at these movies, they don't tell the truth. So do your own homework. Next, I'm going to talk about the church and its complicity in the continuation of racism, also the educational system, and the governmental system. This is Dr. Deborah. This is Dr. Deb. I am your sister. But family, we need to come to the table and we need to talk about this, and we cannot move beyond it, grow beyond it, unless we talk. It's been my honor, my pleasure. This has been On the Real with Dr. Deb. I'll see you next week.